It's time to combine a guilty little pleasure with a new healthy habit. Kick up your feet and listen in. This is Wisdom and Chocolate. This is Beth Stanko, and you are listening to Wisdom and Chocolate. Today, we're talking about resilience, my love. Resilience in the face of conflict. So years ago, I was a leader of many different types of children's groups. I worked at a church, and so I was leading children in music and dance, and we were doing some musical theater stuff at the same time. And I also was working with mothers' groups, girls' groups, boys' groups. I was doing all sorts of work to help support different segments of my community. And I had such a rich life. It was just absolutely wonderful. And at the same time, I had four children of my own. And so my children got exposed to a lot of different things because I brought them everywhere with me. So if I was going to a mother's group, they were there too. If I was going to lead some choir, they were there too. If I was teaching tap dance at the local elementary school, they were there too. They also had a very rich life because of all of this. One of the activities that we did was Cub Scouts. And this was one of the most rewarding activities of everything that we did, mostly because we were working with so many different children. And I wasn't just working with a den, I was working with the whole pack, and I was also helping to train other leaders. And for those of you who may not know, it's the adults, the parents, who actually volunteer to lead the groups. So it was really important to me to choose very good people to lead all of the different groups and also to make sure that they were trained really well to keep everybody safe. And it was also my goal to make sure that we weren't just doing activities in a room. You know, a lot of troops and packs that I was seeing out there, they were keeping their kids in, like trying to keep them safe. But the whole point about Boy Scouts is to prepare boys to be men. That was the purpose when it was first brought onto the scene. And so to lock children up in classrooms or at the basements of churches and teaching them things about the outdoors made no sense to me. It's like, if we're going to teach them about outdoors, we need to go do things outdoors. So when I was the leader of the pack, we were doing camping trips, we were hiking, we were doing all sorts of things. One of the activities that we did was fishing. And this was no easy task, I have to tell you, because we lived in Los Angeles and there aren't a lot of places where you can go in a controlled atmosphere to fish. So I found a location. This location was in this huge park and there was a man-made lake. And of course, they stocked the lake with fish. The point of fishing there was not to catch the fish to eat them, but instead to catch them for sport and then throw them back. Now, none of my boys knew how to fish, and my only experience with fishing was out in wild, like, rivers. But I thought, I'm going to take a quick course. I'm going to understand what this is all about. I'm going to take them out, and we're going to go fishing. Now, while we were there, there were these young men who seemed to know what they were doing. They were like really on top of it. They were really going for it and they were very successful. And at one point, one of my scouts came over to me and asked me to help tie one of their flies on the end of their pole. And I was having some difficulty with this. Now, the oldest of the two boys that were doing so well saw that I was having difficulty and came over to help me. And there was no smile. There was no expression whatsoever. And to be honest with you, it seemed like he was a little apprehensive about even offering, because probably I would look at him, decide, no, I don't want this guy to help me, and say no. But that wasn't what happened. He walked over, he offered, I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, please help me tie this thing. I don't know what it is that I'm doing wrong. And I'm leading these kids. So let's all together like learn how to do this. And the guy seemed surprised that I was so welcoming of him. But then he went ahead and started tying the fly. And he did such a great job. Now, I had taught myself how to tie some of the knots so that I was prepared, but this dude did a knot that was crazy cool. Like, it was really cool. And it was so good. It was nice and tight and it held really well. And he put a worm on the hook and he was like, you know, here's the fishing line and whatnot. And it was just awesome. And I thanked him. And then I was like, you know, introduce me to your brother. I talked to his brother. They both, honestly, were of ages where they could have been Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. So for me, it was like, I'm talking to some scouts, right? But the apprehension that this guy had came from the fact that he was actually somebody who came from a harsher neighborhood. And you could tell he was just trying to give his little brother the opportunity to have some gentler time out in nature. And he was surprised that I was warm with him because most people would have looked at him, seen the hand tattoos and the whole thing, and would have gone, gang member, and would not have interacted with him. Now, I think that there's a bigger message here because it's not just about this incident. And recognize I'm from Los Angeles, so I've had a lot of different interactions that many other people would not normally have. In fact, one of my good friends made fun of me one day because I went through all the different times I had spoken to police officers. Like, I went to the police department, then I spoke to these guys, then I went to this community meeting there. I've been stopped by police here. Somebody came and patrolled my neighborhood because I was being threatened here, you know. And she just laughed. She's like, you know, most people go through life terrified of police officers because they've only met one once or never at all. And you talk like it's like no big deal. You've met like 50, 60 police officers. Well, yeah, they're people. We're all people. If I sat back and judged everybody based on their tattoos or their uniform or their political views or how they smile or whether or not they're capable of interacting with people, my goodness, the richness of my life would go down. It would not be as amazing. We are given the opportunity to come face to face with some of those most amazing, unique situations. And a lot of times we hold ourselves back or we are so frightened at the possibility of getting hurt that when the thing goes well, we don't even stop to say thank you. Right? You know, it's like, oh, I'm kind of scary. This person's approaching me. Oh, that wasn't too bad. I should have thanked them. How many times have you done that? I know I've done it a couple times. Those moments when I'm not quite in my mind, and I'm not really paying attention, I forget to say, hey, thanks. That was really cool. Now, I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that the main topic today was resilience. Specifically, it's resilience in the face of conflict. Resilience in the face of conflict. Now, conflict doesn't necessarily have to be full-blown conflict. It could just be the promise of conflict, the possibility of conflict, but we still need to stay focused and really understand what it is that is happening. Resilience in the face of conflict could be anything. Maybe you're at the restaurant fighting over who's going to get the last, hamburger bun. I don't know what the thing is. That's a conflict. And if you can hold your own and understand your argument, you're more likely to make it through that conflict. Your resilience will be tested, but you will ace it. And it could be something more challenging than that. Perhaps it's a car accident. Perhaps it's just not even being able to watch Netflix tonight because for some reason it's not working. That's a conflict. Sometimes it is a conflict within yourself. Maybe you should be saying beautiful, amazing words to yourself, but you keep forgetting to tell yourself thank you. And so the words are not coming in as loving a way. Resilience in the face of conflict helps you to move through life in a more pleasing way. And remembering to say thank you, even in the moments when you're a little disheveled and you're unsure of the conflict you might be facing, man, that can really diffuse a situation and also give you the opportunity to make someone's day. A lot of us are judged before we even start speaking. So when the conflict, whether it's real or just imagined, when it's resolved by the words thank you, man, that can mean all the beauty in the world in that moment. There is one simple equation that holds the secret to an empowered life. It's called the I Am Equation, a powerful online course at BetStanko.com dedicated to creating real, transformative change through self-celebration. Celebrate, motivate, and empower. It's that simple. The solution to the equation is personal transformation. The I Am Equation at BetStanko.com. Plug your life into the equation at BetStanko.com. Okay, it is the chocolate moment. And today's chocolate moment is all about the See's sucker. See's Candy makes these suckers, which are squares. They're like the least natural shape for a human mouth than you could even imagine. But they taste pretty darn good. They've got vanilla and butterscotch and cafe latte, I think is what it is, and chocolate. And they also have seasonal flavors. And they're super awesome because they last a really long time, partially because they're so awkwardly shaped that you don't want to hold them in the mouth constantly. It gets to be a little, it can bruise your mouth, to be honest. But the taste is so incredible that you want to just, you know, experience it all the way down to the stick. Now, it is the chocolate of today because of that chocolate sucker. It is so good, and maybe it's so good to me because it's something that I enjoyed in my youth. They used to have, and maybe they still do have, the opportunity to sell See's suckers to make money for your school. And so my high school used to do that for the individual classes. So the senior class, let's say, would do a fundraiser and they would sell See's suckers. And that was just super awesome. And so I was really into the chocolate sucker at that time. And one of the things that I want to note about these suckers is they are packed with a punch. The flavor is definitely amazing and the shape is a little awkward, but they do last forever. They just, like, you can be eating that sucker for a good 35, 40 minutes if you plan it right. Like, it is so good and it makes you feel, I don't know, important. That you can have that sucker for such a long time. It's just pretty darn cool. And in those moments where you're really noticing how amazing this experience is, it's time to practice your roar. It's time to really kind of sit back and go, yes! Because you've had your chocolate for the day in the form of a sucker that really allowed you to experience it to the fullest. And this, of course, can be translated to other things in life, because you know that that's what I'm all about. It's not just about the chocolate. It's about setting up the story, right? And going back to the fishing trip, I want to say that the power of acting with humility and humanity, those are two things that help you to practice your roar. See, a roar doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to be like a big lion roar. It could be a roar of humanity, the calmness that moves through people. Many times, the humanity in each of us is far more powerful than the muscle that we have. And when we use that power, it is like a powerful roar that just vibrates through everything around us. It is so incredibly awesome. And when you are facing things with humility, so it's not just about being human, but using humility, where you're not owning it to the point where you're going, hey guys, look what I did. You're just experiencing the beauty of the moment as it unfolds. Oh my gosh, that roar is the most fantastic, gorgeous roar of all. Reacting to people on a human level, the beauty side of the human level, is just golden. But when you lace it with humility, that's where the punch is. That's where the roar really takes shape and really just vibrates through the world around you in the most gorgeous way. Talk about resilience in the face of conflict. It's almost like you're not even feeling the conflict when you can tap into your humility and your humanity and remember to say thank you by showing people the love that is within you.
It is time to reset. I'm talking about resetting your life. I'm talking about exploring what it means to achieve true harmony of mind, body, and spirit. Join me, Beth Stanko, in person for my annual midwinter self-celebration event, The Spiritual Spa, where together we will share in journaling, yoga, meditation, music, and if you've never experienced a sound bath, oh my gosh, you are in for a treat. So take a break, come in from the cold, and don't miss this fun-filled winter weekend of relaxation that people from all across the country have called life-affirming. It's my midwinter reset retreat, The Spiritual Spa, March 18th and 19th in Evans City, Pennsylvania. To sign up and for more information, visit BethStanko.com. That's BethStanko.com. I can't wait for you to reset your life at The Spiritual Spa.
All right, my love, it is time to rock that grateful heart. I've already talked about the resilience in the face of conflict and remembering to say thank you. And it's time to practice your roar, right? Like really get out into the world and be the beautiful beast that you are, right? But you got to rock that grateful heart. And that requires you to make a choice to do that. You can't just assume that being a good person is going to help you work through conflicts. It certainly is helpful, but there needs to be something inside of you that helps you make a choice to be the best that you can be. In other words, you need to be active in being the best that you can be. Humility can be a choice. If you're someone who chooses more to be out in the open and go, yeah, I did this, and really claim credit, see what it feels like to step back and just watch everybody experience the beauty of the gifts that you have brought to them without them knowing it was you. That can be one of the most rewarding things you have ever experienced. Instead of being involved in the thank yous, you sit back and you watch the joy on their faces. Wow. It's amazing. It is amazing. So I challenge you to rock that grateful heart today. I challenge you to make choices of humility today. I challenge you to lean on the beautiful side of your humanity and allow that to dictate how you operate in the world today. How will that lead you to say thank you? How will that lead you to practice that silent yet wonderfully warm roar? How will that lead you in the resilience that you feel when you're faced with conflict? Allow yourself to experience this. I challenge you to really sit back and make the choices needed to experience your resilience and practice that gorgeous roar.
Check out everything that BethStanko.com has to offer at BethStanko.com. If you're on social media, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, you can follow me and BethStanko.com and keep up to date on all the little bits of wisdom and chocolate that I post Monday through Friday. Subscribe to this podcast and start enjoying your weekly dose of celebrating you with Beth Stanko. And while you're at it, if you're enjoying wisdom and chocolate, please take a moment and share with a friend. Go ahead. Tag a friend today with wisdom and chocolate and get them started on a path of self-celebration. Experience the wisdom that helps to motivate and empower you in relationships, business, family, and most importantly, self-celebration. Getting the picture? It's wisdom and it's all about you. Want to hear the chocolate? Tune into Wisdom and Chocolate weekly.